So in order to have cash flow, I need to keep my marketing moving. That way I always have a new deal coming in. I'm okay with that because they're great deals. Well, I would say therefore cash flow follows marketing, and most people aren't doing enough marketing.
You're listening to 5 Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Okay, folks, and welcome to another session of Winter Wednesdays. I've got my good friend, and we're an old timer. We go way back. His name's Tom Zeeb. He lives in Washington, D.C., and we go back to the circles of getting started teaching real estate investors. And what's interesting about Tom is we would always attend the National REIA Cruise. Now, this past year, we missed out because of the COVID stuff, but every year, me and him, we set up our own special time away from everybody else in the bar. And so we learned sitting on a bar stool. So it's kind of like, what did we learn sitting on a bar stool going 22 knots? I don't know. Whatever that is. And I've done power lunches from up there. I might have had Tom on those things. But anyway, Tom is a wealth of information. Tom is a superstar, not just in real estate, but in many other things. I mean, he's been on about every TV show you can imagine. It has to do with finances. And very good friend. We always have great times together. We just don't get to spend enough time together. And so welcome aboard. I want to thank you for taking time out of your precious day, Tom, to share your insights and experiences being a real estate investor.
My pleasure, Mike. Thanks for having me. I do. I miss our bar talks. And hopefully when they reopen the bars, I'll see you at one and we can sit and catch up on everything.
Yeah, you guys might laugh about it, but we really, truly focus on business stuff when we do that. And we just sip our drinks. We don't fall out of our chairs or fall off our bar stools. But I'm telling you, every time I hook up with Tom, it's like 2 + 2 = 12. And that's just the kind of person he is. How about some challenges, Tom, when you got started as a real estate investor, and maybe a little bit about what you do and how do you transition into that and the why?
I was thinking about this the other day. You know, what are the things that knocked me down at the beginning? I'll tell you, I don't mind sounding mean, I guess, so it doesn't matter. But when you listen to the wrong people, and that almost sounds like a cliche, but there are so many people that are, they're professionals, they're experts in the business, and yet they steer you completely wrong. And I find that problem particularly true if you want to be an independent real estate investor, entrepreneur, like you and I, and like the people that are listening, rather than a licensed person or this person or somebody that fits into a nice box that everybody understands. And so you try to go on your own. It's like being a lone wolf and people don't get it. They don't understand it. And many people that you ask for advice tell you you're wrong and out of whack. And man, Mike, that held me back the better part of my first year.
Holy cow. Now, I've got my three fatal mistakes of investors. You're going to enjoy this. So I say number one is cash flow. Yeah. So you got to keep your finger on the pulse of your business or the next thing you know, you're going to be belly up and it's too late to fix it. Number two is a management system, okay, of some sort. In anything that you do in your real estate business, you got to have a management system in place. And then number three is exactly what you're talking about. And I call it bad advice, especially from poor people.
Yes.
And we're in a special group. When I got started, you know, I was a policeman. My coworkers, family members, people at church, just whatever, they would look at you like you were nuts for being a real estate investor. So you never got a pat on the back and saying, hey, go get them. You're doing awesome. They were, I don't know if it's a combination of being jealous or they didn't have the gazungas to do it or what. Did you experience that too?
Yes. So look, depending how you look at that, it's either jealousy or they care too much about you, right? Yeah, you ask your family and they care so much. They don't want to see you get hurt and fall on your face. And so their own fears come out and block you from moving ahead. That's one part of it. Or if it's maybe friends or colleagues or your peer group, then it's flat out jealousy. And that jealousy, interestingly, gets worse after you achieve and do it because then they're like, hey, how dare you have that lifestyle? Oh, you're going on another vacation? Oh, you bought another house? Oh, must be nice. And you're thinking, well, when I told you what I wanted to do, you told me I was nuts.
Exactly. So how'd you overcome that? What would you offer to folks that are experiencing what me and you went through back in that time period?
I think this sounds a little odd. When I had gone to visit my sister, because we also had a property in New York City, which was a disaster, but driving over, you pass by Central Park. Mike, you know what's in Central Park? There's all the horses and carriages. What do the horses have on their eyes?
Blinders, just like in Blinders. Derby horses.
Yeah. And as cheesy as it sounds, I kind of looked at that and go, you know what? I'm kind of jealous of those horses. And it's not because of they get their poop in a bag. I know what you're going to say. It's the blinders. They don't. All they do is get somebody force them to only look ahead and do one thing and do it right. And that is, look, I thought that's exactly what we need to be doing. One thing and do it right.
That's true. So you still didn't say how you conquered it, though.
Yeah, I started ignoring everybody.
Okay.
And that's not easy. At the beginning, that's not easy at any time to just basically thank you for your comments and then ignore it and move on. And then I also learned to stop talking to people about it. I was talking to people about it because I was excited. And also I was unsure. I was trying to justify the things I read in various books and like, does this really, but I wasn't talking to the right people. And so when I finally found a RIA group in my area, like, wow, now finally I'm around people that get it. These people are on the same path. They're on the same journey. They have the same frustrations, but they're further along than I am. And then it became, oh, wow. Okay, these people get it. So I can shut up talking to everybody else and only talk to these people because they get it.
Yeah, you're talking about being excited. So we like to bump our gums about something we're passionate about. Okay, so when I discovered this, it sounds like you went through the same thing. I was telling people I worked with, I was doing this, I was doing that. And I just couldn't shut up. And then I found my local RIA group, just like you, like, holy cow, this is awesome. And, but I'm the oldest of seven kids. Okay. I'm the oldest of seven kids. Guess how many of my brothers or sisters are involved in real estate?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Okay. So that's good. So how do you vet call them a coach, mentor, guru, mentor, whatever? Because a lot of these RIA groups have sharks in there.
It's becoming this way for all, what do you call it, like all service providers. I mean, attorneys, accountants, everybody, coaches. I feel like you really got to vet them, check them out closely. You ask a lot of questions. Don't commit immediately at first. Give yourself some breathing room. And then, like, do they have what you want to have? And is that a lifestyle you see going for? Because look, even now, I've been coached for 15, 16 years, since 05. I'm still cautious when I look to somebody to see, all right, what's my next level? I got to make sure they're not going to derail me or if it's not going to match. And one of the things is you look at what they do and go, wow, you work 36 hours a day. That's not at all what I want. So, right, the lifestyle doesn't match, things don't match. And so I think you want to check people out. You know, do they have other success stories? Are there other students happy? Do you get along with, come on, these days you can watch a ton of someone's videos. You can listen to their podcast. You can get a sense of somebody even without being personally face-to-face across the table. So do that. If you like what you see in a video, if you like what you hear in a podcast, you're probably going to like getting more of that person. And if not, then you won't. So don't do it.
Okay. Another thing that I did is I would take the old veteran successful investor that I admired in my local RIA group.
Yeah.
And I would ask him, have you heard of this fella? Have you heard of this lady? And see what they say. So no different than like trying to do your due diligence before you hire a contractor to do a rehab or something. Do the same thing. Try to find some folks that you know that know them and see what they say.
Mike, that's how I wound up becoming a mentor was other people in my group kept sending people to me. And I went, you want to learn how to do this too? You know, I was a few years in. So I said, all right, fine. I'll show you how to do it. And I happen to be good as a teacher as well. It was the same thing. Other people saying, go talk to Tom. Go talk to Tom. And then it took off from there.
That's cool. Let's see. So challenges. Did you have any challenges along the way? And can you share those? Because I know we both have our plethora of challenges that we hit and how you work through those.
I'm going to tie, I think, one of the biggest challenges. I had it. Many of my students have had it. Most people I meet have it. And it ties in directly with what you just said a few moments ago about what the first problem is. You said you got to keep cash flow going. Well, I'm a wholesaler, right? I like to find good deals, negotiate and put them under contract and sell the contract to another investor. So I don't have any cash flow because I don't get to resell a property again and not the same property again and again. I have to keep doing it. All right. So in order to have cash flow, I need to keep my marketing moving. That way I always have a new deal coming in. I'm okay with that because they're great deals. Well, I would say, therefore, cash flow follows marketing, and most people aren't doing enough marketing. And the problem that I had and that I see everyone else have is consistency. That's a matter of having marketing on your calendar as an appointment that you take as seriously as a doctor's appointment or an airplane ticket or, you know, something that you are going to be at and you are not going to skip. So you could say cash flow follows calendar. And when you get routine things on your calendar and you treat this like a business, it's not to say you can't have a lot of fun, right? I mean, spend an hour a week, make it Marketing Mondays, and go spend an hour doing your marketing. Well, now you got the rest of the week to do whatever you want, but you have to do that first and primary task. Whether you want to rehab, landlord, or wholesale like me, it all starts from marketing. And so if you're going to have any cash flow in the business, it starts with marketing. Get the marketing on your calendar.
Okay. So folks that are on here right now, I know that nobody is on here listening to me and Tom right now to work harder. Okay. No. So we all three have this in common. So we want to work smarter, not harder. And just like my book, The Landlording on Autopilot, we want to put our marketing on autopilot. We want to put our whole real estate business, as much of it as we can, put it on autopilot for as cheap as we can that gets results. And so that's huge. And so if you stop your marketing, you're not going to get any deals coming into your funnel and it's going to dry up. And so it's not like, well, today we're going to work, then we're going to stop. Then we're going to work, then we're going to stop.
That's a grind. That's going to wear you out. And that's not going to excite you to do it. So what I would rather have people do, Mike, is work hard once, you know, set up a system, set up a routine, you know, you're talking about implement your systems, use your, get it moving. Because then if you just spend an hour a week, it's like having a wheel spinning. If you come by and give it a, you know, keep giving it another shove, it'll keep spinning. If you never come by and shove it, it's going to stop. If you keep going, but you don't have to sit there and pedal. Sitting there pedaling is hard work. Nobody likes doing that. And that's a grind. Nobody likes the grind.
And you don't get any WD-40.
No. Exactly. Well, yeah. Learn to make the wheel spin better. So if every week you come by, give it a spin and spray a little more WD-40 juice on there, we're in good shape.
Yeah. Okay. The results. Okay. I want, if you could share with us one thing that we both do every year, and we did it on those bar stools. Okay. We might've done it unknowingly, but I tell you, our talks, our bar stool talks affected what I'm getting ready to share with you now. And that was reviewing goals from the last year and setting goals for the upcoming year, along with like a 3 to 5 year goal. Can you share with us about how important you feel goals are?
Yeah. You know, goals, I've been wrestling with this one lately because it almost sounds a little cheesy. It's a little schmaltzy. Oh, I have my goals and I'm going after my goals. But if you don't set them, how are you ever going to achieve anything? If you don't have an idea where you're going, if you and I decide, hey, let's go to San Francisco. Well, now we can say, are we taking a car, a bicycle? Are we walking? Are we flying? Are we taking a boat the long way around? Right. We can figure all that out because we know where we're going. But if we just go, hey, let's do something today. I mean, how many times have you gotten together with a friend and you want to go eat? And where do you want to go? I don't know. Do you feel like? I don't know.
I don't know.
And you sit there in the car with nothing to do when you could have been eating by now if you would have had an idea of where you're going.
Well, just like you said, San Diego. Okay. So if we know we're here at point A and San Diego is point B, the shortest distance between those two is a straight line.
Yes, it is.
And what I've realized, and you come from the world of stats and numbers, and you're a genius. You got all that stuff up there. I can't memorize all that stuff that you have. But it was some Ivy League school, and I can't remember which one, where these certain class of students or something wrote down their goals, and it was a small percentage, and then the results. Do you remember anything?
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard that. I want to say it was probably one of, you know, the atypical place like Harvard or something. And they, you know, the ones that had them written down had actually achieved, and everyone else just kind of went whichever way the wind was blowing.
Yeah, but those very few who did write down their goals, okay, their results as far as wealth or whatever the results go, exceeded all of the others combined. And so you got to set goals and then mark it out on a calendar, okay? So like if you know you want to get 20 nice rental houses paid for in 3 to 5 years, well, that's a long-term goal. All right. So what are you going to do this year to work towards that? Okay. And if you got a point B, well, then you got a point A. Here's where I'm at. Boom, boom, boom. And then put some time markers on your calendar. You got a Google Calendar. Use it.
It all comes back to the calendar again. So even your long-term goals are breaking down into shorter-term things that can be tasks on a calendar. Cash flow files calendar.
Yeah. So tell us about your group that you have for investors in your town that you and your bride operate. And it's just the 5-star group for investors.
Gotcha. It's Traction RIA. TractionRIA.com. So a number of years back, this was a group that got me started. And when the fellows that ran it were looking to retire, they said, would you like to take over? And my initial thought was, no way, Jose, that's ridiculous. Seems like a lot of work. But they said, hey, you really did well here and you got started. And wouldn't it be nice to pass that on? And I thought, oh, all right, let me take a look. So I looked at it, and it's been a labor of love, but absolutely love being able to help other people like that.
Yeah,
so,
labor of love. It is a job. It is a lot of work, but you can't measure the rewards you get in a bank account. And yeah. Tom has been several terms on the board of National RIA.
Awesome.
And so that's a National RIA. National NARIA.
State Investors Association.
Yeah, I was a board member. I just forgot. Yep. I guess I'm getting early onset Alzheimer's or something. But yeah, Tom's been on the board there. So he gets to travel all over the country, meeting all different investors from all different groups. And he has courses and teaches. And he's in a very, very unique market there in Washington, D.C., or is it another?
No, it's Washington, D.C. also is Northern Virginia and Maryland, Southern Maryland.
Yeah. And boy, that's a tough market. I would not want to think about trying to figure out how to invest there, but he's got it down to a science and he helps investors all over the country. Especially, would you say your niche is wholesaling?
Yes. Yeah. I do at least 80, 85% wholesaling, maybe do a rehab a year because I'm a glutton for punishment. Okay. And we have rentals as well because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. And so he's got it all figured out there. If you notice, he said rentals. So that means if he decides to get up one day, I'm not going to do any wholesale deals for a couple months or three months or more, or something happens to a parent and his daily routine gets changed or life happens. And well, I'm not going to go there because that's all ugly stuff, but his rentals would keep producing income for him. So he can buy groceries and pay gas and light bills and all of that. So keep that in mind, guys. Okay. If he were simply 100% wholesaling, well, if something happens and it stops, well, when he closes on his last deal, his income stops. So Tom shared that with us and talked about it. Well, I appreciate you being on here. We've gone a little bit longer than what I expected. And tell Carolyn howdy, and you just keep rocking and rolling, and we will hook up again very soon, hopefully on a boat ride, buddy.
Sounds good to me, Mike. Thanks.
Have another bar stool, what do you call it? Brainstorming session.
We shall.
Thank
you. Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.